Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello on a beautiful fall evening in the Northern Hemisphere. That's when we're recording this segment of Spark. I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you sharing those wonderful sparks that may empower you to ignite change in your life. Thanks so much for joining me, for being here, for sharing what you learn, and for inviting your friends and family to check out Spark, because they too may find something that's useful to them. So I always start the show with asking, if you listened last week, what action did you take? The topic was sparks of awareness for choice. To realize that when you become aware of options and become aware that you have choices, all sorts of opportunities open up. So I hope that you took an action on something you learned last week. And we're coming up on our second anniversary show. So there are many segments on a variety of topics with amazing, inspiring, and interesting guests over the last 2 years. And while I wish I could tell you for sure who our guest is next week, I have a couple people who are looking at their calendars. I will let you know to please mark your calendars for October 14th when our guest is game inventor Dave Hunt, who is a retired teacher. We'll be talking about the game that he invented when he was in college and is available on the market now. It's called the Murder Game. And it is a role-playing problem-solving game played with a group of people, and we'll talk some more about that. It's a great way to get to know people, to practice deductive reasoning, to have some fun. I've played it many times and over the years, and I know a number of others have. So I hope that you will join us on October 14th if you've played the Murder Game and want to share some stories from your experience, or if you have questions for Dave about the process he went through inventing the game and perfecting the game. We'll talk about that process and also where he's at now in his retirement and that transition that he's made. So that date again is October 14th. And next week we hope to have an inspiring person to share some amazing resources with you as well. So tonight, where are we headed? Or when you're listening to, thanks to my loyal listeners who download us and listen on their iPods or their MP3 players, we thank you as well. Tonight we're going to talk about sparks of life management. Have you ever felt like you're being pulled in so many different directions? You feel like you're in that Dunkin' Donuts commercial, if you've seen where he meets himself coming in and going out, making the donuts, eating the donuts, making the donuts. If you're going from weekend to weekend, getting through the week, the days in the middle are a blur. If you feel like you're overextended so that your priorities really are not getting the time and attention that you want to give them because they are indeed that important in your life. What are some ways that you can make different choices? So we're kind of extending last week's segment when it comes to awareness leads to choice. Because often we find ourselves in situations and we look and we say, how did I get here? I have no idea. Well, obviously I said yes to too many things or someone else gave me projects that I didn't feel like I could say no to or didn't have a choice. And so how can you regain that sense of control around the choices for the time in your life? And I know I'm there. There are so many projects and schedule changes and one job and commuting time and all sorts of demands that I find I have less time to spend on what I truly love. Time with my son, my husband, time with friends and colleagues, time to work on Brain Bonanza and new products and services for the wonderful people like you who keep us going, whether it's new webinars, new recordings, new articles that can help you and support you as you work to make the most of your mind, as Tony Bazan's book is titled, and learn about mind magic that I know so many people don't know about the tricks, quote-unquote, of mind magic, things that can make life more enjoyable, work better, and my purpose is to empower people to create the life they desire in joy and love and with ease. And so it starts with me and being able to use these tools in my life, and Spark is a way for me to share those tools with you. So tonight, because that's one of my most recent topics of thought, has been how do I make the most of the time that I have? Because we all have the same time, the same hours in a day, same minutes in a day. And we don't know some days where all that time seems to go. We wake up, we go through a routine, the next thing we know, it's the end of the day, and how did it get there, and it's time to go to bed, or we're doing this laundry, like the movie Mr. Mom, where she's washing the same shirts, and that's what she does. Then when she goes to work, and he's looking at the same shirts again and again and again, we can feel like we're caught in a rut. And there's a saying that says the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. So if you feel like you're in a rut, you feel like you're stuck, the first step is that awareness, that acknowledgement of this is where I am. And I made some choices that led me here. If I'm not happy where I am, what choices can I make now to change things? To make different choices. So take a slow, deep breath in. And as you inhale, think about all of the wonderful things in your life. And as you exhale, think about how grateful you are for those things in your life. Smile and repeat. Inhale, thinking about blessings. Exhale, thinking about how grateful you are for all of those blessings. And one more time, and notice how you feel. Is it different as you smile and inhale, thinking about all of those things for which you're grateful, the blessings in your life? Then as you exhale, think about how grateful you are, a feeling of gratitude for all those things for which you are grateful. Time of year here in this part of the world, electric shocks. I just got zapped touching something metal. So think about what is it you're doing in your life that you want to change. And maybe everything's going really, really well and you don't want to change a thing. Maybe, or maybe not. Most of us have something that we would like to do differently. We wish was going differently. How do we do that? How do we make that change? Maybe we're not laughing enough every day. In the recent segments, we've talked about humor and laughter and how we don't laugh enough. Are you laughing at yourself, at others? What can you do to put more laughter into your day? Sometimes it's just stopping and just thinking about something funny and enjoying that laughter. So let's take a look at some other options that you might choose when people are asking you to take on one more project, she says as she yawns. Can you do one more thing? Volunteer for one more activity, bake cookies for a fundraising bake sale, or can you pick up this project to help somebody at work? What's one more thing? And, you know, for some reason, at least in the United States, we find saying no very, very difficult. We worry about what other people think of us. And unfortunately, I don't remember who said this, but it's if we realized how little other people thought of us, we wouldn't be concerned. Because really, while we're worried about what they're thinking of us, they're thinking the same thing. I wonder what others are thinking of me. We really aren't spending so much time thinking about other people. And, as Wayne Dyer says, other people are entitled to their opinion. You can walk away from it and leave it behind. So to be able, if someone shares their opinion, like, you know, to separate yourself from the good opinion of others, to make your own choices and decisions about feeling good about what you're doing because it's the right thing for you, if it's your core values, that's what's important, especially if it fits your core values and serves others. So think about ways to say yes, ways to say no. We can, you know, why are you saying yes? Are you saying yes to try to get points with another person? Are you saying yes to try to get their approval? And so, are you saying, is it better to say no? And one of the lessons that I learned in a workshop, and unfortunately I don't remember from whom, was that think about if you say yes to this, what does that mean you have to say no to? Because we all have the same 24 hours in a day, the same 168 hours every week. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you have the same amount of time. And if I say yes to speaking to a nonprofit group on an evening, it means I'm saying no to spending time with my son and my husband. So, it's a trade-off. Sometimes, yes, I do want to say yes to that group because my husband and son can do something that particular evening. This would be beneficial for that group of people. That would really help them, the information that they would get. So, really think about it. Sometimes we're just too quick to say yes. It's okay to say, I need to consult my calendar and I'll get back to you. Or I need to think about that. Could I call you tomorrow with an answer? Because if I need to answer right now, I'll choose to say no. And we don't have to justify our no. I feel like we have to explain the no. I do. But we really don't. And from a piece by Ken Jacobson, University of Northern Iowa, he's a retired professor, said that you have the right to say no, often more right than the other person had to even ask you in the first place. So, you know, be particular about what you're saying yes to. Say yes to the important things. Or, you know what, yes to something that's quick, if you can truly help. And sometimes, you know what, maybe you can't do the whole thing, but maybe, you know, I'm not able to be there for the whole day, but I can be there for an hour in the morning, if that helps you. And if not, then maybe next time. Or, you know, the other part is to let the other person know you're honored they asked you. That's what I use. I'm honored. This is from Paul Wesselman with Stone Soup Seminars and the Ripples Project. Was I'm honored that you asked me to be on this committee. And right now I'm choosing to spend my time with my son, so I respectfully decline. And for me, you know, when people know a why, that often will stop them from asking again. Because sometimes when you just say no, they'll say, oh, but da 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 da, and they'll come up with two or three more reasons, and then you say no again. And so when you have a why, something else on which you're spending your time, it helps them get the no, that you're really not available to help. It doesn't require any justification. What if it's your boss who asks you to do one more thing and you're already dripping all over the floor from an overflowing plate of things to do? Maybe your boss doesn't realize. Because over time, yeah, maybe he or she has given you 10 different projects and forgotten that you're still doing those 10 things regularly, faithfully, doing them well. So now he's added another one. Number 11 just isn't going to fit on that plate. What do you do? Well, if you can delegate, that helps. What if you're in a situation where there is not a person to whom you can delegate? Then what? You know, can you have that conversation that says, you know, right now my time is full. In order to add this task or this project, something else is going to have to take a lower priority. Which of your pieces has a higher and lower priority? I need that information from you to help me prioritize. And sometimes just that awareness of those different pieces, it's like, oh my gosh. Sometimes they can only, they'll reorganize. Sometimes they can take something from you to give to someone else who needs to learn that task as cross-training. And sometimes it's just, wow, I really do need these. But tell you what, excuse me, make these your top priority. This one can be late or this one can wait because I need this piece by whatever date. The problem is we don't have that conversation. We smile, nod, and say, yes, sure, and then we get sick. We have ulcers. We work late. We stress out. We don't like our job anymore because of all the demands that are being placed on us. And we're angry at our boss or our coworkers, but we don't talk to them. And we don't have those conversations with them about how to make the priorities, how to say no. Or, you know, is it something where I have no choices? There are no options for me. And people do burn out and get sick and end up missing work because it's just too much. So what can you do to take care of you so that you can do your best work at work, you can be your best person at home with your family and your friends? Are you bringing your best self to work? Are you bringing your best self home so that those people you love get the same best part of you that the people you work with get during the day? Or do we give the people at work our best and then we come home exhausted and stressed and grumpy and tired and, yeah. I've had a few days like that where I've had to stop and say, do a little check-in with myself about, you know, the people I love, are they getting the best me? Do I need to rephrase and say, you know, I'm tired right now, and so you may not get the best reaction from me about things? Do we say that? Or do we find ourselves saying things that, in retrospect, in hindsight, we wonder, how would I say that to somebody I love? Why am I talking like that? Who is that? Because it does not sound like me. Or maybe it sounds like me every day and I really, really want to sound like my best self. So what can you do if you've got all these demands? Well, sit down and take a look at really how much time things are taking. I know that's a challenge for me. In the book Time Management for the Rest of Us, Anne McGee Cooper and Dwayne Trumbull talk about the research around the different ways cultures and people process time. The Western Hemisphere tends to be linear, monochronic, one time, one thing at a time, and the clock is important. Time is being on time, and time clocks, and time is important, and task accomplishment and time is important.
in Eastern cultures, relationships, and Hispanic cultures, relationships are important. And people can do multiple tasks, polychronic, many things at a time. The conflict can come when you have people who have a polychronic system or were raised in a polychronic system and they move, and vice versa. Or their natural style of processing time is polychronic and they're trying to function in a monochronic system in a company or a culture. It's challenging. And so what do you do? It's not that you're deficient or incompetent if you find you're monochronic in a polychronic culture or vice versa. It's how do you cope? What strategies do you have to adjust? And that is a great book to help polychronic people, people who multitask, people for whom relationships come first, which means that they're not always on time because they're dealing with people, because it's rude in those cultures. If you are having a conversation with someone, you finish the conversation before you go to your next meeting or appointment. And so the way you invest your time is based on the people and the relationship and the conversation rather than the tick of a clock. That can be challenging when you work somewhere where the tick of a clock is critical versus that you have some flexibility with a schedule. And how can you honor your strengths, whether you're monochronic or polychronic, honor your strengths and still be successful in the culture in which you work? So that's a great resource book, Time Management for the Rest of Us, many strategies for how to make linear monochronic time tools more polychronic, using color and stickers and highlighters and other strategies, including, and I think I shared on past segments, the clocks in my house and my vehicle are set at different times. The critical ones, like that need to be right, the recording devices, those are set right. The timer, the coffee pot, if it's going to go off on time in the morning. The alarm clock, the initial alarm clock. And my husband, in their cell phones. But the rest of the clocks, they're off by anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. It's a strategy, and for monochronic people, they think that's absolutely insane. Why would anyone do that? Polychronic people smile and nod, say, exactly, because when you look at a clock that's set fast, there's that quick adrenaline surge that says, oh my gosh, and it speeds you up. Now, people process time differently. And I had a colleague who used to be upset. I didn't realize it for months and months, that we would have an appointment to meet, and I would be on the phone with a student or a parent in a program and be dealing with whatever they needed. And so this is the evening, and I'd be late getting to our meeting. Again, for me, that taking care of that need, if I can take care of it right now and help that person right now, I want to do that. It's done. They have what they need, and then we move on. And so I was always late. And my brain, interestingly enough, processes time 15 minutes slower than the outside world. So everything takes 15 minutes longer in reality than I think it's going to take in my head. And I do it consistently without looking at clocks. That's the interesting part of that. And so I've taught my 8-year-old that. So if I say we're going to leave at 6:45, he knows he needs to be ready to walk out that door at 7. Now, as soon as I say 7, then that 15 minutes longer just happened. It's just bizarre. So use the strategies and list the help of the people around you if that's what happens. And I don't judge time well. So if I'm working on a project, I won't be watching the clock. I need to set alarms on my computer, my phone, to pay attention to, oh, it's time to pack up and go, or you've got 10 minutes to get ready for that next meeting, because, yeah, I get involved in what I'm doing rather than watching a clock. And some people are gifted in that they always know what time it is within a few minutes. Tends to work more for monochronic folks. Polychronic folks, we know what time, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night, but if you ask us to pick a time of day, it doesn't work so well. And so honor where your strengths are. That's the message with this, that when we try to fit into the opposite style, it's stressful. And often in my observations with people who tend to be polychronic and multitask tend to be more flexible than the people who are monochronic, where it has to be on time. And to them, on time means early. 5 minutes early is on time. So if that's the case, it's much harder to be flexible, to be polychronic. Now, there are some situations with kids, for example. Sometimes it's important to have a schedule, and other times it's important to just go with the moment, be in the moment, and take some extra time to watch the sunset or talk about the space station if it's going overhead, if it means you're leaving a little bit later to do something, or, you know, to be in the moment. There's value to both, and that's the important part of that message, is both of them have their place, and are you honoring your strengths? Because it reduces your stress. Knowing that, so now if you can, you make some changes in what's going on in your life to honor your style better, to figure out what's your best time of day, and are you doing your best, your toughest stuff, when it's your best time, your most alert time. You know, to think about when you have the most energy, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, 3 a.m., middle of the night. And sometimes it depends on the projects. Our brains cycle between the two hemispheres throughout the day. And there are periods where our linear language side of our brain is at its peak. And when that happens, then the global creative side is at a valley. And then they reverse. So if you're trying to do a task that's involving numerical calculations, writing, and your linear hemisphere is at its peak, it's probably going to come a little bit easier for you than if your creative side is at its peak. So sometimes just shifting what you're working on, if you have some choice, will make a difference. Trying to be creative, to design a graphic, to, in my case, I design training modules, or webinars, you know, the creative part of it works best for me in the middle of the night. And that's often when the linear side's exhausted and the global creative side gets to really have uncensored playtime. And I know that about myself. So if I'm trying to create something at 10 o'clock in the morning, it is just not efficient, nor is it my best work. So when is your best work? And does it depend on what you're doing? And start paying attention to that and see if you notice patterns to, you know, what kind of work or activities you enjoy when. And tackle the tough stuff when you're most alert. When is your prime time, as it's sometimes referred? You know, those morning people who pop out of bed like toast, my husband's one of those. And then, you know, I like to wake up slowly, have a little music to bring me out of sleep. Sometimes it's the morning news. If he's up first, I'll hear that, and that'll work its way into my dreams and pull me into awake. Interestingly enough, too, I have a great internal alarm clock that I can mentally set unless I'm extremely sleep-deprived. I mentally set my internal alarm before I go to bed about what time I want to wake up. 98% of the time, it works. So I don't use an alarm clock unless it's I have to get up at an unusual time or I'm deprived of sleep, then I will set an alarm. But do you know that about yourself? And we often don't take time to really examine that, to think about where our strengths lie, to think about, wow, I never thought about when my best time of day was. We have 15 minutes remaining tonight when we're talking about Sparks for Life management. So if you're listening and have a question, you're welcome to call at 347-215-8390. You can also type a question in the chat room. And if you are listening to this later and have a question, please send an email to brainbonanza, BRAINBONANZA, @gmail.com. And just put in the subject line, spark question. And I will respond to your email and or address it on the future show. it's important that we ask questions, both of ourselves and to find resources that work for us. And I get teased a lot over the years because I'm still searching for the best life organization piece. And that's often true for polychronic people. We try all the different calendars and organizational methods. And I have a modified one that I use. I use sticky notes a lot. I put them in a spiral notebook chronologically. I have the left side of my notebook pages for odds and ends of notes and stickies. And then the right side is for here's my weekly list of tasks. And then I have a place for calls, for emails, for social networking, for surprises. And it's the way it's organized works for me. Now, for other people, it would not work so well. So, yeah, play with creative tools that will help you to organize your life so that you can be where you want or need to be at the right times. And do you schedule play in your life management? Or is it only that you schedule other people's needs and appointments? You know, in talking to someone yesterday, she said, I actually schedule me out of the office or unavailable for blocks of time where she needs to write and work on projects so that people see that and they check her calendar and they don't call her or stop by to see her because she's out of the office. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to honor those appointments with ourselves, workout times. If you have an appointment to go for a walk or to go to the gym or to bike ride, to honor that. And honor play time because that creative time is so important. It energizes and relaxes, de-stresses, and allows that global creative hemisphere some fun time. And your linear problem-solving word hemisphere some downtime. Playtime is just as important for adults as it is for kids, sometimes more considering the stress level we carry. And we don't put that into our schedules. Now, some people are like, well, how spontaneous is that I put playtime in my schedule? Well, sometimes you have to schedule the time in which to be spontaneous, or if you've scheduled time for spontaneity, that means that, oh, if I'm spontaneous when I was supposed to be writing, I just flip-flop in my schedule. And if you schedule every minute so tightly, it does not allow for those glorious interruptions that inevitably fill our day. Those phone calls, those, oh my gosh, I forgot to, can you help me, I need, you know, all those things that happen. Or the phone call from school because your child is sick. Oops, that wasn't in the plan. So does that create stress or is that just another, well, one more thing I need to take care of? And we just adjust. We are flexible. You know, in the grand scheme of things, how big is this really? Because sometimes we take everything to be so huge, so big, and it's really small. 5 years from now, how critical is this? Really, how critical is this? Because we so often make things out to be so much more critical than it really is. So, what can you do differently to manage your life more effectively? And I stopped saying time management a couple of years ago probably because reality is we aren't managing time. Time keeps moving forward regardless of what we do. We really are managing the events and the choices of our lives. And so life management sounds more empowering, sounds like we have more control over our choices. When I look at what am I saying yes to, what am I saying no to? Is it working for me? If not, what do I need to do next? What's a step to making it better? One of the related pieces around life management is procrastination because we tend to put things off, especially the stuff that we don't want to do. That it becomes the bottom of the list. And Brian Tracy has an amazing and entertaining book called Eat That Frog. And the main principle of Eat That Frog is you start and you do first the thing that's the nastiest, worst thing to do. Get it over with. Do it first. And once that's out of the way, then everything else is a piece of cake. Delicious. Or, well, easier anyway than it was before. So we were just contemplating. And we do the little things. Some of us just do those fast. It only take me a couple minutes. It may not be important, but it's quick or it's urgent. So you have a lot of not important and urgent and some important and urgent. And what often gets lost is the important but not urgent things in our lives. And that's from Stephen Covey's quadrant matrix, time management quadrant, of the grid between important and urgent. And where are you spending most of your time during the day? Are you dealing with the urgent things that may or may not be important, which often push out the time that's needed for planning long-term things like health, the things that are important but not necessarily urgent? Or are we living in the time wasters, things that are not important and not urgent? And again, we need some of that. The question is how much of that? You know, there's some people who get home from work, turn on the TV, and watch it till bedtime. Now, granted, there are some great things on television. We love public television. We love the Discovery Channel and National Geographic. So there's a lot of good science and history and all sorts of educational things. But the problem is when your life is lived through the screen, you miss actually living life. So, and doing and interacting with people. So are you making conscious choices or unconscious choices? Are habits really taking the lead rather than you making a conscious choice of I'm choosing this? So, and I can't is another great one. I think we talked about that last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. You can get can't out of your conversation. I'm choosing not to. There is a quote I might be able to put my hands on. There's some really fun books by John Roger and Peter McWilliams. One is called Do It. Let's Get Off Our Butts, B-U-T-S. And the other is The Portable Life 101. They wrote a number of other books, too. But these are two I happen to have at my fingertips. And I have the portable versions, the small 5x7 almost size. Portable Life 101 is 179 essential lessons from Life 101, everything we wish we learned about life in school but didn't. And what I'm going to try and put my fingers on right now is such a powerful quote about choosing in life. Let me share a few others as I'm searching for this. But it has to do with telling the truth around time. And it's one of my favorite quotes because we often use time, well, I ran out of time, or, oh, I can't get that done, or we seem to get rid of our own sense of responsibility when it comes to time, when it comes to our choices, where we said, oh, I just don't have time. Rather, if I can't put my finger on it, I think I can remember the gist of it. And it may be something along the lines of, oh, this is not it, but it's another good one. Experience, it is said, is the best teacher, providing, of course, we become the best students. You know, if we have to keep making the same mistakes repeatedly, are we learning? That becomes the question. Then we may not be. So what are you doing for yourself to continue learning and growing and choosing? So it's something along the lines of when you tell someone you can't, to tell the truth and say, my resources are otherwise engaged, because that's the truth. And that's okay. If your resources are engaged in something else, just take responsibility. Own your decision that my resources are otherwise engaged. And here's another one. This is from the Phil Silvers Show, and the character, Sergeant Ernie Bilko, said this. You said, quote, but, unquote. I've put my finger on the whole trouble. You're a, quote, but, unquote, man. Don't say but. That little word but is the difference between success and failure. Henry Ford said, I'm going to invent the automobile. And Arthur T. Flanken said, but. Who invented the automobile? Think about that. You know, one step. Can you get beyond that comfort zone? That feel the fear and do it anyway. Tomorrow you'll be a day older. Will you be a day wiser? Will you learn something new and different? You know, and it's okay to make mistakes. That's part of life. Learning lessons. Oh, laugh out loud and often. You know, have that view of a child. So in our last few minutes, there's a closing quote that I'd like to share with you. Think about when you're thinking about life management. As you decide to enjoy the moments of your life, the present, the gifts of now. It's by William Henry Channing, who lived from 1810 to 1884. And he said, to live content with small means, to seek elegance rather than luxury, and refinement rather than fashion, to be worthy, not respectable, and wealthy, not rich, to study hard, think quietly, talk gently, act frankly, to listen to stars and birds, to babes and sages with open heart, to bear all cheerfully, do all bravely, await occasions, hurry never. In a word, to let the spiritual, unbidden and unconscious grow up through the common. This is to be my symphony. You know, there's so many forms of wealth, and we'll talk about that at another show. I hope that you mark your calendar, you join me next week, that you look at tomorrow when it arrives. It's the moments of your life to cherish, to enjoy, to breathe. Because, yeah, hurry up and be patient. You heard that? Hurry up and be patient. So procrastination we'll save for another time because we only have 1 minute remaining. Thanks again so much for being here. If you'd like to explore more resources, please visit www.brainbonanza.com for webinars, for seminar topics. Visit our online store. If you'd like to check out The Murder Game before we interview Dave Hunt, you can go to DaveHuntsMurderGame.com. That's DaveHuntsMurderGame.com. And read more about it. If you've thought about inventing a game, that's a good place to start. Take a look at what's there. And please, for the sake of getting a living, don't forget to live. Margaret Fuller said, men for the sake of getting a living, forget to live. Are you working to live or living to work? Are you doing what you love? Are you living your passions? I hope so. I hope that you get to do what you love every day in some way, shape, or form, that you are giving your gifts to the world, because that's the way that you share your blessings to empower others to create their best and better lives. Thanks again so much for being here. It's been a pleasure spending some time with you. You can check out some great resources, great books by John Roger and Peter McWilliams, Do It in Life 101, Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy, and Time Management for the Rest of Us. Until next time, cherish the present, be your best self, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.